Welcome back, Lightning Within 5 listeners. I'm your host, Jennifer Jensen, alongside...
Airman Z Naeem.
It is September, and today is the Air Force birthday.
Heck yeah, 78 years old.
Yep. Happy birthday, Air Force. The Air Force celebrates the annual birthday with a ball. This year, it's going to be on a Saturday, and it's going to be down on the beach side. But I'm really looking forward to that. How was your first experience at a ball?
It's pretty unique. Everybody's in their, you know, mess dress or semi-formal uniforms. It's a way to unwind and relax, but also like remember the legacy of the Air Force.
Yeah, your heritage, right? Be proud and wear your uniform proud. Yep. I know there's a lot of conflict. Like a lot of the female service members would love, love, love to wear a ball gown, right? Mm-hmm. But yeah, you're kind of part of the heritage. You know, you got to embrace it.
Yeah, I mean, unless you're a civilian, you can, you know, wear whatever you want as long as you got an invite. Yeah.
I will be there with my husband. He'll be in mesh dress. I'll be in a gown. You know, we're not social people, so the ball, sadly enough, is like our one big social event every year. Mm-hmm. So if that makes me lame, I'm sorry, but.
I mean, not really. It's always a good place to network. And you get to see people that you might see day to day, but in a different environment, you know, something new about people, make some new friends. Yeah.
It's very relaxed, I think. Yeah. Very friendly atmosphere. Anyway, we also have a few other things coming up. I mean, September has been a little crazy for us. Like we had a WES up. We have the Palmia run coming up. We also have Tyndall Connects. Have you ever been to that one?
I have not. No.
Essentially like a big event where people can come together. It's different organizations all across the installation, but also from the community. And it's like having a hobby that you can share with people. So they have like a book club, they have like crafting clubs, they have gamer clubs. It's just a whole bunch of different things. And the point of having this every year is to have people, not just for the new people that PCS here, but just for people to get out and connect with other people so they're not lonely. I think they started it because of COVID, right?
When is that?
That is September 24th.
Dang, I won't be here. Okay. That sounds pretty fun. Okay. Yeah.
So that's a great event. If you kind of feel alone or you need somebody to connect with, that's a great event to go to. There's so many people that show up for that. And I believe there's going to be food trucks there this year. So that's pretty cool. They're upping it every year. They do it. So
it's annual?
It is an annual event. So, yep. And if we're talking about October, because October's right around the corner, how crazy. Yeah,
it's almost 2026 soon.
I'm not complaining. I love the fall. I really, really hate the summer here. But in October, I think this is probably one of the most interesting events that we do. The Norwegian Foot March is October 9th.
Yep.
And for those of you who don't know what that is, it's an 18.6 mile ruck. And you have to be in approved military uniform and boots. I cannot imagine rucking 18 miles. Yeah. I did a 10K and thought I was going to die.
Yeah, no, it's a difficult experience, but it's worth it in the end. I did it 2 years ago.
That's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah, I did it 2 years ago. You have to carry, I think it's 24.5 pounds
on
while you're doing the ruck. I mean, obviously there's hydration stations and like, people, volunteers looking out with snacks and liquid IVs and all that stuff. So, yeah, it's a fun time and it's like a...
But you have a certain amount of time to finish it, correct?
Yeah, you have to make it within your time limit.
Each age group, I believe, has a specific time limit. Yep. But if you do complete it and you're active duty, don't you get like a ribbon or something?
I forgot if it's a ribbon or a medal, but I know you definitely get something.
Okay, that you put on your uniform. Yep. Okay, that's pretty cool. Yep. But if you are interested in that... I would hope that...
You've been training?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a lot. Yeah, your feet are going to hurt if you just try going in without training.
Get some good insoles and blister patches, you know? But if you need more information or just are curious about it and want to get ready for the next year's march, you can check out our Tyndall Bulletin. There's a little flyer on there for you. Man, there's so many things happening in October. October is like the time I feel everybody's like, yes, it's cooling down. Let's just do all the fun things. So we'll have trunk or treat on base for the kiddos. Fire prevention week is also in October. That's always fun for them too. They get to see the fire trucks and Sparky the dog.
Yep.
I feel so bad for the Sparky guy.
I don't know the story behind Sparky. Oh, like the actual guy in the costume. Okay.
They usually make the newest airmen go in there.
Oh, like, actually, no, I didn't know.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought you were going to give me a backstory on why Sparky the dog's a thing.
No.
Like, okay.
Well, he's like Smokey the Bear, right? Like, okay. He's just like their mascot for fire prevention.
Got it.
So that kids pay attention to what they're actually saying.
Mm.
But there's so many other things. There's Oktoberfest happening. I think that might be happening at the end of this month.
What's that?
Oktoberfest?
Yeah.
Bruh. Have you never heard of the German Oktoberfest? What?
I'm not cultured, I guess. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Am I exposing myself?
No.
My lack of knowledge being exposed.
Okay, yeah. I don't know. Hold on. So Oktoberfest began in Germany. And initially, like in the 1800s, it was just a big celebration for a couple that was getting married. Hmm. But now it's more about like agricultural things, kind of like our state fairs, right? But it has tons of beer. Have you ever seen like...
Oh, I've actually heard about it. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, no. Yeah, I've met people who were stationed in Germany. They tell me about it.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Germany is a different vibe, but yeah. Stateside, we do little ones, you know, okay. Where there's a beer truck that rolls up.
What
I think...
What is this? Let me know. Nobody tell me about this. What?
So now that you know what Oktoberfest is, you should partake. Yeah. I mean, it's not some like grandioso Germany fest, but it's a good time. Anyway, October's busy, man.
It's going to be a hectic month.
Yeah. Yeah. And everybody, checkered flag.
That's one of the biggest.
Oh.
Yeah. The checkered flag is biannual exercise we do. Yeah, it's one of the biggest live fire exercises throughout the DOD. Yeah, it's going to be a hectic time.
Yeah, the only one that even comes close is the red flag exercise in Nellis. So, yeah, brace yourselves. We apologize in advance, everybody. It's about to get loud in October. I know we talked about hurricanes last episode, but I want to reemphasize, like, it is still hurricane season until November, everybody. I'm kind of terrified. I wanted to go visit Key West, but I don't know that that's a great idea right now. I live my life and explore and take the risk, or do I... Nah, I'm going to go.
Yeah, I wouldn't say live with a mentality that the worst is going to happen, but it really depends on who you are.
I know.
I'm more optimistic, so I'm not going to plan for a typhoon when I go, you know, visit where I'm going to go visit.
Let's get to what we're going to discuss today. We're going to interview one of the 12 outstanding airmen of the year. So out of the entire Air Force, 12 people are picked because they are... I don't want to say superior, but they're fantastic in all aspects, right? So today we're going to talk to our one outstanding airman, and it's Master Sergeant Brandon Vasquez, and he's with our 325th LRS unit, and he's actually a POL troop. I'm pretty excited because you have to be extraordinary to accomplish something like that. And I know they've changed things now so that... those 12 outstanding airmen are ideal candidates to promote the Air Force and be examples. So, like, they have to go through interviews now, I think.
Yeah, they're, like, pretty much the celebrities out of the enlisted side.
I talked to him a little bit on email. So he told me, like, he has to go pretty much on, like, a tour. Like, whenever they need him for a speaking engagement or they want him to meet somebody of, you know, a higher status like COMAC or SIMSAF, he's going.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
I don't know. You have to get like PR trained really to say the right things. Yeah. I'm sure with all the experience and training he's had throughout the years, it'll pay off.
Yeah. Can you imagine having a supervisor that made top 12? That guy should be your idol, you know?
Yeah.
Air Force wise, okay. He should be your idol. Like, you should look up to him and you should be so grateful because I'm sure if he made it to that level that he's doing something right supervisor wise, right? Yep.
All right, everybody, stick around. We'll be back after a short break with Sergeant Vasquez.
This episode of Lightning Within 5 is brought to you by the 325th Fighter Wing Public Affairs Shop. For all the latest news, photos, videos, and more, check out our Facebook page, Instagram, and our official website, tendo.af.mil.
Welcome back, Lightning Within 5 listeners. We are here today with a very special guest. Welcome, sir. Why don't you give us a little introduction and tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, thank you for having me. I'm Master Sergeant Brandon Vasquez from the 325th Logistics Readiness Squadron, specifically the Fuels Management Flight. So I've been in the Air Force for about 14 and a half years. And I'm originally from Central Florida, a little town, well, not little anymore, called St. Cloud, Florida. I was born in New York first, though. I do have three boys, Carmelo, Jacob, and Makai. They're 11, 9, and 2. Those boys in my world. So if you're asking about me, it's always going to be them. Hobbies, I'd say I just got into running. I want to train for a half marathon in about 6 months. So right now, it's just strictly running.
In this heat?
Hey, it's going to test me for whenever that race is coming.
You're not wrong. All right, sir. So you're from our LRS squadron. So what do you do over there?
Currently, I'm the section chief over fuels quality compliance. So I oversee the environmental and safety portion of fuels. I also oversee the laboratory function of fuels. I'm also an inspector when it comes to compliance of the flight itself. So those are the major functions of my section.
Laboratory and POL. I don't think a lot of people know that there's a laboratory over there. Be POL cool. is just assumed to be like, hey, you guys fuel up the jets and get them
big green
going.
Truck.
Yeah.
Yep, yep. No, there's a lot of background stuff that's awesome with our career field. Definitely a lot of opportunity.
Aside from that, I know you guys have like a fuels barge. Like what other aspects of fuels that you want to highlight?
So that's actually an awesome thing about Tyndall. Mm-hmm. So Tyndall is a unique area because we're right on the water. We get to receive primarily from fuel barge. So a lot of other installations, if you will, they either receive from fuel truck or they receive from a pipeline. So us being able to receive from fuel barge is basically this big old tanker ship that's going to be delivering fuel to all of the Gulf Coast bases. It could be from Navy bases, it could be Air Force bases. We basically coordinate with the Defense Logistics Agency and we order the fuel and they come pretty quick. And it's
pretty
awesome.
That's crazy. We provide fuel to everybody in Florida, essentially.
Not us specifically, okay. The fuel barge does. And right. So we're just one of the customers of the fuel barge.
Okay. I see. Okay. That's pretty cool. I didn't know that. I knew barges came in, but I've only ever seen them with like rocks and stuff for construction.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's pretty awesome to see it out there. Just this big old flat, ginormous tanker, and it has just a bunch of fuel in it.
And that little waterway doesn't look like it'll fit.
No.
I know. I'm surprised. Tiny. Those captains are pretty talented.
Sergeant Vasquez, tell us why you're here today.
So I've been selected as one of the Outstanding Airmen of the Year.
That's right, he has.
Yep.
That's right, from Team Tyndall. We got one, that's right.
I put Tyndall on the map a little bit more, but every time I say it out loud, it's crazy. I still haven't fully embraced it, I should say.
Yeah.
It's an honor. Where I come from and my career and how long it took for me to get here and all the experiences that I've had, to tell you the truth, I wasn't even going to put in for NCO of the Year. My superintendent, Senior Master Sergeant Wiseman, he was like, come on, man, you had a year. Let's go ahead and capture that. And I think that's a good story for like anybody out there that's rocking it and killing it. Don't sell yourself short.
Yeah.
You know, because I almost did. And then look what happened.
Everybody's their own worst enemy. You know what I mean? Yep. We're always so hard on ourselves. So just to clarify, you won NCO of the Year first?
Yes. Basically the process. With either category, Airman, NCO, and Senior NCO, they're going to be going up the ranks. So you went out of your squadron, go to the group, go to the wing, so on and so forth, numbered Air Force, your MAGCOM, and then the MAGCOM will nominate their Airman, NCO, and Senior NCO to become Outstanding Airman of the Year.
Interesting.
And so what it used to be, this is the first iteration this year, what it used to be is the MAGCOM will select out of the Airman, NCO, and Senior NCO, who will be one of the 12. And it was a MAGCOM's decision. So this is ACC's representative. Boom, that is one of the 12 Outstanding Airmen of the Year. This year, they did it different. So they actually flew us out to DC. And the first time ever, we had an in-person board. So they actually made sure that you can actually speak. You fit the part. And basically, what's on paper isn't the only thing that's going to get you this major award. We also want to get to know you and what you bring to the fight, what you bring to the table. So that was an awesome, awesome experience to be able to sit in front of three MAGCOM command chiefs and they're asking me questions. So very nerve-wracking, but I would assume it went well. Here I am, you know?
That's crazy. So what do you think set you apart from your peers? Like, how do you think you got here?
Well, I got here in March of 24. I was an MTI prior to that for 5 years. I always attest all of my success to that hat. Because it taught me a different level of work ethic and drive and perseverance that I've never experienced before. And so I came here, I was a half a decade out of POL. I told everybody that was in POL, look, I'm not your SME, but I'm going to figure it out and I'm going to do it quick. So that kind of altered my mindset, if you will, rather than just an everyday. Every single day I had to prove something.
Right.
I felt like I was behind the curve. I went to BMT as a staff sergeant. I came out and I found out I'm a master. My entire NCO tier was as an MTI, so I'm like, I'm well behind the curve. So that I had to press fast forward And that just created more and more things for me to get involved with and learn. The knowledge that I received off of being dedicated to not allowing the curveball of my career, of getting out of my career field, I went ahead and took advantage of the drive into policy, into compliance and all that kind of stuff to make sure that people that were underneath me, they were doing their job correctly. The programs that I govern, it was done correctly and to the T, to the book and all that kind of stuff. So I brought a different flavor, I guess you can say. And and I think what really drove this home was that my unit allowed me to be me unapologetically.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the one thing I was nervous about. MTI coming back, how are they gonna receive me? And my unit was like, you know your lefts and rights, I trust you, go ahead. Then if you happen to go outside of that, we got you, but we need you to really showcase what you learned over the last 5 years.
And, I love that.
And that definitely defines it to a T as to why I'm sitting here today.
It's very rare that you find somebody that's been out for that long, right? Like you take a special duty and then a lot of NCOs are like, do I really want to go back? Yeah. Like, should I just keep doing different special duties? I've found like a lot of the NCOs we've talked to, they prefer to just stay out of that career field. So I commend you on going back and saying, you know what? I'm just going to take this by the horns and I'm going to rock it out. So that's fantastic. I love that.
It was a new challenge. I'm always going to take it. Absolutely.
So going back a little bit, what made you want to join the FUELS career field and what inspired you to really join the Air Force?
I think my answer is more towards joining the Air Force.
Okay.
Before joining the Air Force, I tried out college. Mm-hmm. My first taste of freedom, didn't do too hot. I'm sure it's a popular story out there and any airman.
Yeah, it is.
And absolutely. And so next thing you know, I'm trying community college instead of the university that I was at. And I was like, this ain't it. Started getting the wrong crowds and I was like, okay, stop. This is not who you are. Let's go ahead and make a change. And I talked to my uncle because I was like, I think the military might be my way. Mm-hmm. Which branch do you recommend? At that point, he was in for about 24 years in the Army, National Guard. And he was like, go Air Force, dude. Don't even look at the Army. And I was like,
everybody recommends it.
All right, here we go. So I walked into the recruiter's office and I was like, hey man, I'm looking for structure. I'm looking for a drive. I'm looking for something to go after, a career, to be honest. And I think I want to serve my country. And so he was like, all right, take the ASVAB, give me some jobs. I gave him 30 jobs. I was like, get me out. I don't want to be here anymore. Here is no good. So he ended up giving me number 18, not that big a deal. And he gave me FUELS. And at first I was like, okay, what is this? I learned it. I had my ups and downs with it, but then I started to appreciate it a whole lot of what we do, literally feel the fight directly. So it kind of comes with a sense of pride to be a POL troop for sure.
What's been the most inspiring aspect of working as a FUELS troop?
I would say the dynamic of being able to do a whole lot. We have a whole lot of sections and elements within the flight that you can move around and not get too stagnant. If you want to pump gas out of the fuel truck for your entire career, cool, probably not going to happen. If you want to be the individuals that actually receive the fuel and store the fuel and check the system to make sure everything's good to go, cool, that's another aspect of it. The laboratory we talked about earlier, cryogenics we talked about earlier, that we actually have a control center, a fuel service center that does C2 functions of all fuels operations and is literally our hub, right? Mm-hmm. That was where I found my niche. And in that, they also deal with the ordering and accounting of fuel as well. So I was a fuels accountant for a while and I was like, this is kind of cool. I like it. You know what I'm saying? I'm able to crunch some numbers and really find a passion in what I do at that point. I think that was the first time that I found a passion for sure.
What's some advice you'd give to newer airmen in general? Like have them advocating for themselves as much as you are?
I would say don't sell yourself short.
Okay.
Every single job in the Air Force is extremely important. I can advocate for fuels because it's what I know. So fuels in the Air Force, I mean, we fuel the fight. Literally planes aren't going anywhere without us, right? So take pride in that. And your day in and day out, what can you do better? Having a constant communication with your supervision and trusting the process, right? Being able to talk to them and be like, hey, I'm kind of feeling stagnant. Do you have any advice? Or how can I get to another level? And it's not just initial midterm and closeout feedback. It's a constant communication. Find yourself a mentor. Identify that mentor. Let them know, this is what I want, right? Now there's different options and different routes and different opportunities. The Air Force has a plethora of opportunities, especially for like the staff sergeant rank and above. Now, if you're not there yet, cool. Now start priming yourself to set yourself apart from your peers. So when it comes time, it's not a question that you're the person that they want. But at the end of the day, I'd say every day, your 8 to 10 to 12 hours when you're at work, you need to make your money. and find ways to do it. Don't get complacent just doing your job. There's a lot of jobs out there that don't take a lot of effort once you learn it. Cool. Once you reach that point and you kind of maximize that, now start asking for more. And start asking for more. And then start asking, what else can I do? What else can I do? And if you want it, it got to work. I promise you it'll be there.
So what do you think? Do you feel like the MTI slot was like your pivotal point in your career that made you like understand it deeper, push harder? Do you think that was it? Or do you think there was a different moment for you?
I would say it was one of the moments. Okay. The first moment, I was stationed at Allison Air Force Base, Alaska for 4 years. And all 4 years I was a senior airman. I was what most would call a DBA.
Yeah.
And I couldn't figure it out. I blamed everybody else for my shortfalls. I was angry because I was very good. And that's when I was an accountant that I talked about earlier. I was very, very good at my job and I felt like I deserved more. And I had to get out of my way. And so the pivotal moment, I was actually, I got orders to Tyndall the first time.
Okay.
And I was here until the hurricane. Hurricane sent me to be an MTI. That was my pivotal moment because that's when I sat down with a mentor and they were like, you need to make a change. Mm-hmm. Like, you obviously have work ethic and you obviously have drive, but your attitude sucks.
Yeah.
So you need to have a full package of a whole airman if you want to be successful in this career, or you can just stay there.
Yeah.
And then you will never make staff, hire tenure, get out.
Yep.
So at that point, I was like, let me take the reins of my career. The career is within my hands. Even as a senior airman, the career is within my hands, absolutely. And it showed. It showed its face. As soon as I got to Tyndall, made staff, got deployed, NCIC gig, hurricane hit. I rolled the dice, got picked up for MTI, and it was skyrocketing from there. The MTI molded me, I'd say. A POL created me. Mm-hmm. And so I give thanks to both, absolutely, for sure.
Do you think your E4 years, that was your biggest challenge? You said like you were just in the way of yourself.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I think my E4 years took me about four times to make staff sergeant. And I never put forth the effort. I think I studied my fourth time. And then finally I made it. Okay, if you put a little effort in, you got it. But I didn't really try. I didn't really care. And like I said, I felt like the Air Force was against me and I blamed everybody else for my shortfalls. And I wasn't happy in my assignment. I wasn't happy on my job. I was put on night shift for 2.5 years and I just was like, hello.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, I was doing this job for a long time and they never put me up for different options. And I was just like, I don't understand. And so that is where what I talked about previously of being very open and transparent, close mouths, don't get fed.
Yep.
Right.
Talk to your supervisor. Get that feedback and let them know what your worries are and what your feelings are and what you have going on. And a supervisor should be able to guide you through it, but also be open to, it may be you that's the problem.
Yeah.
And so me, I needed to face reality. I'm the problem right now. And so the sooner you face that, the quicker you're able to kind of turn it around rather than 4 years, possibly six more. Mm-hmm. And then you're wasting a whole lot of time.
Right.
You know, but I think I needed that. I think I needed that little phase of, right now isn't my time. I need to grow up.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't join the Air Force very grown up. I was 19 years old. I was not very smart on the outside. I came in, I still wasn't very smart. It just wasn't doing dumb stuff. But in my career field, I was just like, I'm not making the right decisions to be able to project in a realm that I feel like I deserve. That's a dangerous word right there, deserve.
Yeah.
No, you need to earn it at the end of the day.
I mean,
love that.
Mm-hmm. What you're explaining is like a prime example of accountability. Boom. And not everybody's life is going to be the same, but taking control of what you can take control of and then making the most of it. I feel like exactly what happened to you at Eielson. That's like a perfect example of just taking accountability and making the most of what you can.
Absolutely. Yep. I mean, it took the 4 years and it took me to get orders, but it finally worked.
Yeah.
I think it finally worked.
I love that. Because a lot of E4s get stuck in that rut. Like you get stuck at the same installation for 4 years, right? And you're just itching. Like you need to go somewhere. You need new things, new challenges.
Yeah.
And then when you are stuck for so long, you start becoming bitter. Mm-hmm. And you take it out on pretty much everybody else except yourself. And then you realize like, no, I'm the problem.
Yeah.
Like there's a lot of people out there. I was one of them. Like that's why I got out. I was like, this is, if I'm going to stay at Dias Air Force Base the rest of my career, I'm done.
Yeah. That's also on the supervisor too. You know, to be able to be that person that it's really hard to give intrinsic motivation. So sometimes you need to explore the extrinsic and then explore what they are passionate about. Find that passion. They don't even know their own passion. But let's try some things out. you know, because get out of that rut somehow, some way. And maybe it might be a new duty title. Maybe it might be a different job. Maybe it might be something else. I think as supervisors, we need to take that a little bit more seriously and deliberately.
We've talked about like your past, mm-hmm. your present. What about the future? What do you have planned next for, you know, your career after winning this award? What do you see yourself doing in the next couple of years?
Well, I'm currently tasked to deploy. So okay. I will be deployed next month, heading overseas. And I'm excited for that. I'll be running my own field shop. So that's super exciting. My first time. I think from there, I'm not sure. I love mentoring. I love leading. So I kind of want to explore the PME route.
Okay.
But since I have explored the ATC route with MTI for 5 years, I'm mm-hmm. kind of good there.
Yeah.
But I'm also okay with staying in POL. I think that on the ground leadership means a lot and goes a long way. And I think sometimes you need those individuals that'll be able to, like we talked about, fulfill that supervisory role and leadership role to be able to motivate and inspire the individuals beneath them.
Is there anybody you want to give a shout out to? Somebody who motivated you, some mentors in the past?
Or? I got a whole lot of them.
Yeah. Okay.
I will give a couple shout outs. I think it started when I first became an MTI, my trainer now, Senior Master Sergeant Figueroa. He taught me how to step up into the NCO role and learn how to guide the trainees whenever they truly, truly needed it outside of just yelling. Mm-hmm. When I got the DSD, I was like, I'm about to go yell. Let's go. Yep. From there. From there, Sergeant Modisette helped me. Now Senior Master Sergeant Modisette helped me write. He helped me figure out how to be a good writer so I can be able to capture it myself and capture those beneath me. Moved on, Senior Master Sergeant Davis. He's actually MTI of the year last year and 2 years ago. No, last year, excuse me. And he taught me how to get ready to be an NCO, a senior NCO. He taught me how to be a leader, a great leader, but an approachable leader as well. I struggled with approachability then. And then coming here, it was Chief Master Sergeant, now retired, Johnson, the LRS SEL.
Oh, we love him.
Yes. Johnson. So yeah, I actually asked him to speak on for the interview as well. So he put some words and I'm excited to read them. But he had a different approach that I've never experienced in an SEL, how calm but intelligent he was and how he was able to, you know, make a shift in an entire organization just off of a few words. He doesn't need to have a whole speech.
Right.
Like, that man was respected. And that man was a mountain mover.
Yeah.
And he moved a lot of mountains for a lot of people. He cared. And that was like me gunning for chief and wanting to be a chief in the Air Force. I was like, man, I need some of them attributes. So there's some work there. Everybody that I identify as a mentor was a piece of me that I knew I needed to work on.
Such inspirational things. You're going to be a great outstanding airman. Like on the tour, the PA tour you're doing, you know.
I have no idea what's coming.
It's coming, bud.
Thank you.
All right. One last piece of advice for the baby airman.
Get out of your way. Close mouths. Don't get fed. Have that conversation. Also, step out into other individuals that are not your career field so you can learn Big A Air Force. Don't forget about Big A. We are Air Force first and then functional mm-hmm. after. And we need to maintain that mindset. And it can start as little as 2 stripes, 3 stripes. Like, you can still make a change. You can still make a difference. Don't be the individual that starts going against the system. And don't be the individual that puts a negative light on awards. Be okay with capturing it. Be okay with highlighting yourself. I mean, a place like Tyndall is amazing because this is a place of a bunch of firsts. We are figuring it out. And we're doing it at rocket speed right now. Mm-hmm. And if you are not jumping on this bandwagon to be able to start some innovation at this base, well, then what are you doing? But right. if you're staying stagnant within your specific duties, that's how you're going to develop a little bit of a, woe is me, and why am I not getting recognized? Well, the real conversation is, what are you not doing?
Right.
And have you been able to, maybe it's not even on you, maybe you just need to learn. And maybe there you need to find individuals to speak to. I mean, find me, I'll speak to you. And I will definitely show you the way. But I would hope that you would trust in your leadership and your supervisors to be able to find that out, because I guarantee they have the information. Maybe you didn't give them the chance yet. And I think that'll be the first step for the baby airman to start on a journey of faith in the system and having a little bit of integrity and kind of self-accountability, if you will.
All right, Sergeant Vasquez, thank you so much. And congratulations again on being one of the 12. That's so awesome. Yes. We know this guy now.
Yeah.
See?
Yep.
He needs to be your mentor. You see that guy? Yeah.
Whatever y'all need, anything y'all need, I'm here.
All right, sir. hopefully we will speak to you in the future. But again, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for the opportunity. This was amazing. Appreciate y'all.